love. I know I'm not easy to love. Amen. But that's true. But the Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you. Amen. And because of the Jesus in you, you're easy to love. Amen. Praise God. We thank God for being here today. We thank God for his many blessings, for the multitude of his tender mercies. We give honor to all that honor is due. Amen. We thank God for being saved and on the Lord's side today. Amen. No place I would rather be than with the Lord. Amen. Amen. How many saw what was on the screen all during praise service? What did it say? Depression weighed me down, right? See, the devil's trying to mess with our praise service. See how that happens? All during our praise, all while they're up here trying to lead us into praise, the message on the board was depression weighed me down. Amen? But it missed the bottom two sentences. But God brought me out. Amen? Depression weighed me down, but God brought me out. But God lifted me up. But God. Amen? How many got a but God story? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We thank God for Jesus because there's nothing too hard for him. Amen? Amen. Do you got your Bibles with you today? I pray that you do. If you do, I would just ask you to get them out at this time. Because we're having some problems with the electronics and stuff like that, we're going to read a little scripture. Is that all right? Amen. If you got your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn to Romans, the 8th chapter. Amen. And while we're getting Romans 8, I just want to say, amen. I was just so blessed by your test. What's your first name? What is it? Rushan? Amen. I was blessed by your testimony. Amen. It was encouraging. Thank you for sharing. Amen. A lot of times we sit in our seats and we say, I don't really have nothing to say, or they're not going to, you know, the devil talks you out of your testimony. But we always have to continue to tell of God's goodness, continue to tell our story, because all we have is our story and his story. Amen. All the other stuff doesn't matter. Amen. We have our story and his story. Amen. And when we share our story with how God is blessing us and how God has taken us through processes and how God has taken us from here to there and brought us from here to there and brought us through all the troubles and all the trials and all, we need to share that because somebody else is going through the same thing. Amen. And when you're in the midst of the trial, when you're in the midst of the challenge, when you're in the midst of it all, sometimes it's hard to see God working. Amen. So it takes for somebody who, you know, has come through something to share where you can get some encouragement yourself right in the middle of your situation. Amen. And that's why, you know, a lot of churches don't do testimony service anymore because it takes up time in the service. But that's why we have, from this, you know, to this point, have decided to keep that in the service because it's so important for us to share with each other. Amen. Even like Sister Camille's not in here now, but even like she was saying, you know, if she can't share it with us, then who can she share it with? Amen. We're family. Amen. Even if we don't know each other that well, you know, we're family in here, amen? And it's important for us to share because when you tell of God's goodness, when you share your struggles and share God's victory, you know, the victories and stuff like that, that's how change happens and that's how things start to get better, amen? Amen. If you got, you know, and that's why, you know, that's what makes things like the Grace Group and things like that so powerful, because when you start to share your weaknesses, that's how you are able to overcome your weaknesses. Amen. If you never share your weaknesses, you will have a hard time overcoming them. Amen. If you never share your weaknesses, you have a hard time overcoming them. And what you need to know is there's a battle going on. Amen? I say it all the time. Every day the Lord allows you to wake up and open your eyes, there's a battle going on between the enemy and God. And the enemy wants you to walk after the flesh, and God wants you to walk after the spirit. Amen? And the enemy knows that the longer he can get you to keep your weaknesses to yourself, the longer it'll be before you overcome them. Amen? But when you expose them, then you expose him too. Amen? And when you expose your weaknesses and you expose the enemy, God gets the glory, and God can then. You know how they always say you can't help somebody until they actually want help? Well, you can't really do anything with your weaknesses until you actually expose them. Otherwise, it's just between you and your mind. And many times you lose that battle because your weaknesses are not something that you're proud of. Your weaknesses are not something that you boast about. So you feel bad about your weaknesses. You feel shame about, this is not even my message, but somehow I got there. You feel bad about them. You feel ashamed about your weaknesses. So you want to keep them to yourself. You don't want to share them with nobody. But when you keep them to yourself, that they stay in your mind. You're not happy about them. You're not. You know, it's, you feel bad about it, you feel shamed about it. So that leads to what was on that board right there, where depression was weighing me down. Hello. But when it's such a freeing experience, the one thing that we're so afraid to do, the one thing that we're so afraid to share, the one thing that we think, oh, if I tell somebody that, they're gonna think I'm, no, when you do it, it's such a liberating experience. It's such a freeing experience. You know, the Bible says he will make you free. Amen? God bless you. God bless you. And who is free is what? Free indeed. You want to be free, you need to be liberated. And in when you're keeping things to yourself, when you're keeping things down, it's slowly eating away at you like a cancer. Amen? And you're not really free. And it leads to what was on that board. But you know what's funny? The very thing that you're so ashamed of, the very thing that you're so afraid to share, the very thing that you think is makes you such a bad person, when you expose it, you'll find out, me too. You too? I thought I was the only one. I thought I was. So there's, you're not the only one. You know, there's so many of us in the same situations, sharing some of the same struggles, and that's what happens. And that's how God rallies around you and gets you to be able to conquer that thing. And sooner or later, you don't struggle with that anymore, and you can cross that off your list. Amen? And work on something else. Praise God. That wasn't my message, so it must have, you know, whatever. Romans 8 chapter. Thank you, Lord. I have a New American Standard Bible I'm reading out of, so some of the words, I don't know what kind of Bibles you have in front of you, but if you have different than that, some of the words might be different, but they most likely mean the same thing, so... Romans, the 8th chapter, we're going to start at the 12th verse. Romans, the 8th chapter is, the most talked about or mentioned verse out of Romans 8 is the first one, where it says, "Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." And that's kind of what we were just talking about. But I want to skip down to the 12th verse. It says, "So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Aren't you glad that you have God, your Father?" Amen? See, sometimes we got to remind ourselves when we're going through things, when we're going through some tough things, look, I'm not in this thing alone. God is my Father. Amen? And if God is my Father, I have access to everything that my Father has to offer. Amen? And he's got a lot to offer. Amen? He's got joy to offer. He's got peace to offer. He's got love to offer. Amen? God has got a lot to offer, and he's your Father. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. We need to remind ourselves of who we are sometimes. We are heirs of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen? God is our Father. When we pray, we say, "Our Father who art in heaven." Amen? Not your father or a father or someone's father, our Father who art in heaven. Amen? And most fathers in the world, I don't care how bad they are, most fathers in the world want to do good for their kids. Amen? They may not do good for themselves, they may not do good for others, but they want to do good. Most fathers want to at least do good for their kids somehow, some way. Amen? So if we, who are messed up and all that stuff, if we want to do that for our own children, how much more do you think our Heavenly Father wants to do for us? How much more? He gave his only begotten Son to die for us that we might live. That's how much more. Amen? So there's nothing that God will withhold from you when you cry out to him. And again, like the sister said, it might not happen the way you want it to happen. It may not happen when you want it to happen. He does things, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So the problem with us is we pray to God for an answer to a situation, but because we didn't get the answer the way we wanted it to come, we think we didn't get the answer. But however God wants to do it, let it be done. Amen? And get out of the way. Thank you, Jesus. Listen to 18. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Amen? How many of y'all are going through some tough things? How many are dealing with some hard challenges? And they are hard and they are tough, aren't they? They can't compare to the glory that is coming our way. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. "For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one also hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. One of the hardest things for us to understand as Christians, one of the hardest things for us to do in this race that is set before us, is to wait eagerly. First of all, we don't like to wait for nothing, right? We want everything to happen right away. We want everything to happen when we want it to happen. We don't want to wait 5 minutes for what we want and for what we think we need. But I'm telling you right now, if you want to get somewhere, if you want to have a revelation in your life, if you want to be, start learning how to wait eagerly. That doesn't even sound like those two go together, does it? I mean, if you're eager about something, you want it to happen, right? You're eagerly, but we need to learn how to wait. Most of us wait impatiently. We wait complaining. We wait, you know, it's been too long. I don't know if he hears me. Why is this one getting blessed? Well, I'm doing everything I know how to do. This one ain't, you know, this person's not even doing right. And why are they getting, that's how we wait a lot of times. And God's like, you know, you're missing it. You're missing it. And then we go back and we say, well, why is it taking so long, Lord? I know I'm trying to do the right things. Why is it taking so long? And he walks us back to Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Do you trust him? And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Isn't that wonderful that God, that the Spirit himself, he intercedes for us? When we don't know what to pray, we don't know what to say. All we know to do right now is cry. All we know to do right now is wonder why. All we know, what is going on, Lord? And the Spirit intercedes on our behalf. And then we get to 28, another popular verse. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We love to quote that one, don't we? Amen. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. So the question becomes this: what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Amen? Write that one down and remind yourself when you're going through, if God be for us, who can be against us? I know it looks bleak. I know it looks challenging. I know that I'm going through hard times right now. I don't know why. I don't know what. But if God be for me, who can be against me? And I try, you know, I say it all the time, but I think it makes me think about when you were young, when you were little, and you know, there was a group of people, and and you had the biggest guy on your side. Amen? There's a group of people over there, there's a group of people over here, and I got the biggest dude on the block on my side. Amen? That's what it makes me think about when I say, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? Because don't you get a little more courageous when you got the big fella on your side? Huh? I was always a little fella, but when I had a big fella on my side, all of a sudden, yeah, what are you going to do? What's up? If he wasn't here, it wouldn't be like that, right? But I got the big fella on my side. What you going to do? We're winning here. You better just walk away, right? That's how it is. You got God on your side. Get a little courageous. Stop being so low and say things aren't going well for me. I don't know what I'm going to do. Things are so... No! Stand up. Put your shoulders back in the midst of what's going on and say, I got God on my side. Who can be against me? I know it don't look good right now. I know it's not the way I want it to be right now, but I'm God is my Father. The Spirit is making intercession for me according to the will of God. God, if God is for me, God has my best interests in mind. Put your shoulders back in the midst of the situation and say, for God I stand. Amen? Glory to God. Stop acting defeated when you win. If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? He did not withhold his only begotten son. If you don't know that he won't withhold anything from you after that, then I don't know what to tell you. Amen? Are we reading the same book? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. God is the one who condemns. Christ Jesus is the one who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's a question. Shall tribulation? Shall distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril? Sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all the day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered, but in all things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Say that one to yourself a few times. But in all things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's why it's easy for me to love you when you're not easy to love. Because the Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you. Praise the Lord. Amen? Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's go over to Psalm 27. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Thank you, Jesus. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. Listen, we got to start learning how to be confident in Jesus, not in ourselves, not in others,
not in the government, not in anything else that we look at and depend. No, we need to start being confident in Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Keep coming to the house of the Lord. Amen. No matter what the situation, keep coming to the house of the Lord. Keep coming to the house of the Lord. Keep coming to the house of the Lord. Ain't nothing happening there. There's not enough people there. This is that. No, keep coming to the house of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle, in the secret place of his tent. He will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock when it says depression is weighing me down. The scripture says Jesus will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When thou said, seek my face, my heart said to thee, thy face, O Lord, shall I seek. Are you seeking his face today? Because you'll find what you're looking for. Are you seeking his face today? What are you looking for?
Open up.
Amen. The devil is a lie. Seek my face. Thy face, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide thy face from me. Do not turn thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Do not abandon me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way. Teach me thy way, O Lord.